Brothers and sisters, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. As Pastor Ben mentioned, today I'll be bringing you God's Word from the Gospel reading, continuing in our theme of called to be with Christ's call to us to be salt and light in the world. We'll do this by looking at three parts within this call: the call itself, the purpose of the call, and the power to fulfill that call. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You are the salt of the earth. Have you ever heard of someone being referred to as the salt of the earth? It seems to have gone out of favour a bit these days, but I used to hear it growing up. It's a term used with affection to talk about someone who is good-natured, humble, hard-working, and just seems generally content in life. Someone who doesn't look at setbacks and get worried about things, but just keeps on keeping on, doing what they can. This is a good thing for us to strive to be, but there's a bit more to Christ's calling in our text today. Salt has a couple of major uses. Firstly, it is used as a cleansing agent and preservative, to make food an unfavourable environment for bacteria and give it longevity. Basically, it keeps good food good. When we look at the world today, we may wonder what we might want to preserve in it, but there is still much good in God's creation. Family, friendship, the earth, and indeed life itself are things that we can see are good and should be preserved. The other use of salt is to flavour and enhance food. It's a basic condiment that can really bring out the best flavours in the food we eat. These are the ideas that Christ is getting at here. You are the light of the world, he continues. This one is a bit more obvious to us, I think. We couldn't achieve much in this world without light. Where darkness reigns, vision becomes useless, and we have to just try to feel our way around. We would struggle with many of the things that we take for granted in our lives: cooking, cleaning, getting around. Could you imagine having a car in complete darkness? Insurance premiums would go through the roof. Another thing about darkness is that evil flourishes in it. Darkness is used as a cover for actions that people wouldn't dare do in the light. Security lights and well-lit areas deter would-be thieves for a reason. The world we live in is in a dark and tasteless state. Humanity has lost its direction, its purpose for existence. Its creator has largely been forgotten, and it stumbles around in the dark, fussing over things of no real consequence and missing what is most important in this life. It sees glimmers in money, power, prestige, influence, but there is no real light that it follows. It is a bland food. The ingredients that make it up are lacking in flavour. Rather than righteousness, it hungers and thirsts for things that just don't matter and is never satiated. This is where Christ's call to us comes in. The purpose of this call is to tell us that we are to buck the trend of the world that we live in. I recently heard something on the radio that I think shows the intent of Christ's words quite well. It spoke about the differences between a thermometer and a thermostat. As we know, a thermometer is a handy device that simply shows you the temperature of the location that it is in, but it is ineffective for anything else. It has no power or ability to do anything to alter that temperature. It simply absorbs and reads it. A thermostat, on the other hand, reads what the temperature around it is, but more than that, it works actively to change its environment. This is what it means to be salt and light. Rather than passively taking on the thoughts and actions of the world around us, Christ is calling us to action, to help bring about change. He wants us to be among the world, to give it flavour and to preserve the good, and to let our light shine in the darkness, in order that people might see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven. The reading from Isaiah spoke a bit about what these good works look like. Loosing the chains of injustice, setting the oppressed free, sharing with the hungry, clothing the naked. Isaiah tells us that if we do these things, then our light will break forth like the dawn. Christ expounds upon this by equating these good works with the law and the prophets, much like what we read in Luther's explanation to the Ten Commandments. They are not in place simply telling us what not to do, but also reveal to us what we are to do, to love God and to love our neighbour. What Christ says next, though, is a tough teaching. Unless your righteousness, which includes our good works, exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, the scribes and the Pharisees were the cream of the crop when it came to keeping the law in Jewish society. They had created laws around laws as a sort of fence to ensure that they never even came close to breaking them. From the perspective of the average person on the street, they were the epitome of what it was to follow the law. For those following Christ, to hear that they needed to be even better at living as God commanded than those guys must have made them squirm. I know it gives me pause for thought. And then consider what Christ says about salt that loses its saltiness. It is not good for anything except to be trampled underfoot. This is scary stuff. How on earth are we to match the righteousness of people that dedicated their lives to achieving it? Well, Christ has good news for us here. He did not come to abolish the law and the prophets, but to fulfill them. And that's just what he did. By living the perfect life, even better than the scribes and the Pharisees, Christ accomplished what no person before or since has been able to. Not only did he fulfill the prophecies of old, but he lived out the purpose of the law in its entirety, not just following the letter of it, but the spirit, encompassing the love and compassion behind it. And the good news is that he has given this to you. When you were baptized, it was into the life, death, and resurrection of Christ. His word was spoken over you, and his word is creative. It does what it says. You are the salt of the earth, he says. You are the light of the world. Christ doesn't just call us to be this. He empowers us through his word and his Holy Spirit. You have been given a new nature, one of salt and light. Your righteousness far exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, not because you follow the law even better than them, but because Christ did, and his righteousness has been imparted to you and is now your righteousness. Indeed, it is only through the power of the Holy Spirit that we can do any good works at all. Without the gift of faith, we cannot fear, love, and trust God above all others as we are commanded to. And without a love of God, we cannot truly love our fellow human beings who have been created in his image. In the article concerning faith and good works in the Augsburg Confession, we read, "Without faith and without Christ, human nature and human power are much too weak to do good works, such as to call on God, to have patience in suffering, to love their neighbour, to engage diligently in legitimate callings, to be obedient, to avoid evil lusts, etc. Such lofty and genuine works cannot be done without the help of Christ, as he himself says in John 15, apart from me, you can do nothing." So, whilst Christ's warnings about flavourless salt and our righteousness rightly convict us where we fall short of this all, their real intent is to remind us of the true source of all salt and light, Jesus Christ himself, without whom we have nothing to offer the world. As you go out from here into that world, shake the salt of the gospel around. In your words and actions, preserve what is good and flavour what is tasteless. And shine the light of Christ into the darkness. Make your confession and be ready to give a reason for the hope that you have in him, knowing that the same one who calls you to be salt and light empowers you to follow this call. Grant this, Lord, to us all. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, in our baptism you have given us a new nature of salt and light. Through your Spirit, help us to love you and to love our neighbour, that your salt and light spread through us and others see it and bring glory to you. In Jesus' name.